This is a good one.
Okay, so it's okay?
It's good.
Good morning, everyone. I open this special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Randy Crispin, Chairman of the Commission. With me are Commissioners Grosius and Fedorchak. It is June 30th at about 10:05. I would point out to everyone who is here or listening that in recent weeks we had some really important couple components of our electronic system break down, and it impacts both the ability to hear within here in the commission room, but also our recording and broadcasting capabilities, and some components have been replaced, and so we'll slow getting started maybe, and also I'm hoping that things don't malfunction in the course of the meeting, but just wanted to explain that in case something happens that we're working under some different equipment here. So I don't have any other opening comments. Commissioner?
I do not.
Fedorchak, Commissioner Crashes?
I do not.
Okay, we'll just move into the agenda here if I find the correct page, but I don't know which.
Brian is
first.
Okay. They're both listed as page one, so I got confused. Okay, I don't have any agenda items for the meeting. Commissioner Crashes?
Consent.
Oh.
Or do you want to do that later?
That's the administrative.
Oh, got it.
Section. But did you have any? No, you said no opening comments.
No opening comments.
Okay, we'll get her cleared up here.
All right.
Go ahead with your portfolio.
We are ready. It's Friday.
Seems like a Monday here so far, but
it will end better than it started. We're fine. For my first item, case number PU-12-813, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company 2013 rate increase, application number as stated, PU-12-813.
Second.
On April 21st, 2017, Northern States Power Company filed a miscellaneous tariff compliance filing to discontinue providing outage credits to customers affected by multiple outages in North Dakota. The outage credits were required by the Commission's order adopting settlement issued on December 12th, 2012, in case numbers PU-10-657, PU-11-55, and PU-11-557. The outage credits were extended through 2016 in the Commission's order adopting settlement issued on February 26, 2014 in case number PU-12-813. And the purpose of the outage credits, it's a provision to provide customers with a reimbursement when they have experienced multiple outages in a year, and to incentivize NSP to improve its service quality. And I believe those numbers are more than three outages within the year, and approximately then a $50 credit would be issued to that customer. The issue to be considered is whether the settlement is reasonable and should be adopted by the commission, and comments and requests for a hearing must be received by August 31, 2017. And just a couple quick points on what has been causing the outages. It can arise from a variety of different things, including storms, vegetation, trees that may be growing into the lines. But one of the more significant components was faulty cable that Northern States Power is in the process of replacing. They have been, and they continue to do so. And also some instances of pole fires, which I'm not a chemist, but when road salt would get on the poles and interact with the preservatives in the poles, and then you have electrons that might migrate up and down the pole, even at a very low amount, it could actually trigger a fire. So this motion again is to extend the outage credit through 2017, and on June 15th, 2017, NSP and the Public Service Commission advisory staff agreed to that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you, Brian, for covering all that information on this. I was really pleased that the company came to the table and offered to extend this program. We know that outages continue to be an issue in the Red River Valley, in particular in Fargo, and have had a lot of conversation with the company over the last 4 years or longer about how to improve that. And I think that it's been a bit up and down. And so I think that I'm hoping that when this the unjacketed cable that seems to be a problem in a bulk of these outages, when they're done replacing that, I'm hoping that we're going to see a big turnaround in the reliability for the Fargo area. That's been, it seems like, the central focus of our conversation with the company over the last couple of years. And they really have invested a lot to try to improve the reliability performance in that area, recognizing that it is an issue, and it continues to be an issue. I hear from customers in that area even this summer that they're frustrated with some of the outages. So this really shows, I think, that the company remains committed to improving that, and I really am pleased that staff focused on extending this reliability performance plan that really shows that the company is going to pay for their outages to customers when they're excessive. And so that's a great thing. And it is important to recognize that last year the average number of outages per customer was the highest in the last 5 years, and the also the typical amount of time that the customer was out of power was also the highest. So that proves that there's still work to be done, and that this, I think, is needed for at least another year when we can see, hopefully, how the investments are going to pay off in terms of improving the reliability.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next up, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity or notice of hearing in Northern States Power Company Advanced Prudence 1550 megawatt wind generation application case number PU-17-120.
Second.
A public hearing on the application in case number PU-17-120 is scheduled to begin September 26th, 2017 at 8:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the Commission Hearing Room on the 12th floor of the State Capitol, 600 East Boulevard Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota. On March 29th, 2017, Northern States Power Company filed an application for an advanced determination of prudence for a 1,550 megawatt wind energy portfolio that includes the following projects: Foxtail in Dickey County, North Dakota, Crown Ridge in Codington County, South Dakota, Lake Hinton, Pipestone County, Minnesota, Clean Energy Number 1, Mercer and Morton Counties in North Dakota, Blazing Star 1 and Blazing Star 2, both in Lincoln County, Minnesota, and Freeborn in Freeborn County, Minnesota, and Worth and Mitchell Counties in Iowa. The issues to be considered in this matter are whether NSP's proposed resource additions are prudent. And just as way of a little bit of background, NSP has a quite large portfolio in terms of energy generation, and it's a large integrated system that stretches across multiple states. When you hear of the different counties, whether that are outside of the North Dakota borders, whether in South Dakota, Minnesota, or Iowa, one thing to keep in mind is that the North Dakota system percentage is approximately 7%. So of that entire portfolio, the 1,550 megawatts, approximately 7% would be applicable to North Dakota ratepayers. And one way of looking at it as well, for the facility in Dickey County, for example, 7% of that would be applicable to North Dakota ratepayers. The other 93% would would move to other ratepayers in other states. So it moves back and forth, but just the overall impact in North Dakota ratepayers is approximately 7%.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll make a couple comments on this as well. This is a significant investment that NSP is proposing, and for myself, I think there'll be a lot of questions to ask on this hearing, and looking forward to. I know we've hired some consultants to dig into this as well, and it really does kind of feed into our other ongoing issue that's out there on the what's that thing called?
RTF.
The RTF reliability. No. Resource treatment framework. So there's just a lot of work going on with NSP to determine what's prudent and what they're investing in, and how to match North Dakota's plans for and desires and policies for energy development with what they're planning system-wide. I do want to note that while they're adding or proposing to add 1,500 megawatts of wind, they've also informed us that they're looking at early retirements of some of their coal facilities. There's also ongoing questions about how long they're going to extend the life of their nuclear fleet. And those are some key baseload resources that I know I and others on the commission feel are really important long-term to maintain. So those will be central to the discussion on the prudence decision for these new wind projects. As well as the fact that, you know, you look at the costs over the last 10 years, NSP 10 years ago had the lowest per kilowatt hour rate in our region, and today they have the highest. And so those are issues as well. We're very focused in North Dakota and remain pretty stubbornly fixed on cost and need and reliability, and those issues will be central to this review of the wind proposals that they've got in front of us.
Is there any further discussion?
You both made some really good points. I just don't want to be buried in this for people who might just be listening to the broadcast, that this isn't the decision on the ADP. Right now we're setting a hearing for it, and that'll be September 26th for the people who have interest in this or want to listen in or have comments.
Any other comments? Sensing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, next for me. Our case is number PU-17-140, PU-17-141, and PU-17-143. Believing there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate the cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-04 and issue a Notice of Consolidated Hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Advance Prudence Astoria Project Application Case Number PU-17-140, Otter Tail Power Company Advance Prudence Mariquart Project Application Case Number PU-17-141 and Otter Tail Power Company 150 Megawatt Mariquart Project Public Convenience and Necessity Case Number PU-17-143.
Second.
A consolidated public hearing on the captioned cases is scheduled to begin October 6, 2017 at 8:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the Commission Hearing Room. It'll be here on the 12th floor, State Capitol, 600 East Boulevard Avenue in Bismarck. On April 10, 2017, Otter Tail Power Company filed applications for an advanced determination of prudence for the proposed Astoria Project Resource Addition. Case number PU-17-140 and Mariquart Resource Addition, case number PU-17-141. The issues to be determined in the case number PU-17-140 and case number PU-17-141 are whether the proposed resource additions are prudent. And the two points we will be looking at in particular are whether public convenience and necessity require or will require the construction and operation of a public utility plant or system, and whether the applicant is fit, willing, and able to provide services. We spoke about this at our previous commission hearing when we approved a contract with a third-party consultant who will be working with advocacy staff on the review of these three cases. And just as some brief background again, we just talked about it earlier in the week. Astoria project is a 250-megawatt simple cycle gas facility located in South Dakota, which is intended in part along with the Maricourt 150-megawatt wind facility, which will be located near Ashley, North Dakota. They are proposing that as a replacement for the Hoot Lake facility in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, which will be retired in 2021. So they're looking at this not only as a replacement, but also it's important to note that a portion of the power generation will also be used to address increased demand. And as I mentioned at the last commission hearing, I think this is just another example of how wind is partnered with a gas facility, because the wind does not always blow, as we know. The gas facility can provide immediate demand for times when the wind is not blowing. And when Otter Tail looked at continuing or not continuing, they chose not to continue the Hoot Lake facility. The environmental upgrades required to continue operating that particular facility did not provide a least cost solution to consumers. So they looked at just quite a number of scenarios, and this is the one that they are going to pursue. And of course, we will have to go through the process on our end. Staff as well as the outside consultant will continue to work on it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
In fairness to NSP, I also want to comment on this one that these ADPs really provide an opportunity for us to look at the company's plans overall for their entire generation fleet and ask really tough questions about how they're dealing with reliability and maintaining the baseload resources in addition to incorporating the renewables. So I'd have the same questions for Otter Tail as I do for NSP. The one difference I will note is that while NSP has the highest rates in the region, Otter Tail has the lowest. So they are different from NSP in that respect.
Is there any further discussion?
And so to kind of summarize, in the course of 11 days next, late September and early October, there will be two very important hearings here for people who get services from two of our three investor-owned utilities, and key times for people to keep an eye on and participate in.
You're right. It would be really great if citizens would take note of this and offer some input to us in terms of how they feel about some of the changes occurring and the impacts to their bills and their thoughts on reliability and the whole way that the industry is approaching the incorporation of renewables. It would be, we don't hear from citizens directly. We just hear from them from what the companies tell us that they get in their surveys, and it would be really wonderful to hear directly from citizens on some of these issues.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that's all for me.
Okay. Thank you, Brian and Mr. Chairman. I think I have two items on the agenda today. I move the Commission adopt the order on recommended findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Arrow Field Services LLC 10-inch and 8-inch NGL pipeline project, McKenzie County, North Dakota, case number PU-17-48. Actually, I have three items.
Second.
Okay, this is a project whereby Crestwood Equity Partners applied for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for approximately 2.6 miles of 8-inch natural gas liquids and 2.6 miles of 10-inch residue gas pipeline and associated facilities in McKenzie County, North Dakota. On January 23rd of 2017, they filed this application with us. And on May 19th, the commission held a hearing that was run by a substantive ALJ on this matter. The two pipelines will be located in the same right-of-way and installed in the same ditch with approximately 2 feet of separation between the pipeline. The lines will be designed, constructed, and operated in accordance with U.S. Department of Transportation regulations, and the total anticipated cost of the project is approximately $6.3 million. Excuse me. The company consulted with a wide variety of different agencies. 11 agencies commented on this project, and those comments have been included and incorporated into the design and into this order. Including in those was the State Historic Preservation Officer, who determined that there was a good faith effort by the company to identify and avoid impacts to significant sites. There are no exclusion areas present in the survey area, and there are no avoidance areas present. There are some wetlands in the proposed route, but no permanent impacts to wetlands or water bodies are anticipated. So on June 14th, Tim Dawson, the administrative law judge, filed with us his recommended order. We, let's see here. We received that recommended order, and then on June 19th, the commission staff requested some further information from the company regarding how the proposed project differs from the previous projects that resulted in spills from this company and what the company has done to prevent future spills. And then on June 21st, Crestwood responded to this letter and explained how this project differs from the previous projects and what they've done. And some of those key points is in differences that previous projects were acquired and not constructed by Crestwood. Crestwood stated that the pipelines of concern were gathering lines constructed with fiber spar pipe, whereas this proposed pipeline will be a transmission pipeline constructed from steel pipe with a wall thickness of 0.365 inches. The proposed pipeline will have a system that monitors volumes and pressures, which the other pipelines did not have at the time that they were required. And the company has, since the July 2014 gathering system pipeline spill, they have incorporated a number of safety, 12 different safety, operational, and environmental improvements to the system. Some of those include 3 different improvements on the on valves that were culprit in the July 14th release. They've installed flex steel for all new produced water pipeline segments. They've increased monitoring the pipeline with biweekly aerial patrols to check for potential releases, and they've developed and installed and implemented a remote monitoring system that measures the volume pressure and pressure of produced water at different points and that transmit data to Crestwood's computer terminals. So those are some of the highlights among the 12 different improvements, safety, operational, environmental improvements that they have been made to the system by this company. So those that information has been added to the proposed order by the hearing officer and will be adopted into this order. And in particular, in response to a representative from the Laborers International Union of North America who appeared at the hearing and questioned the company's history on spills and wanted to know what had been done since then to suggest that they are going to repeat that record of the past. So I think with that additional information, I think this this order is ready to go, and I'm satisfied that the minimal impact standards have been met.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
It's kind of a nice example of the hearing process working well. I think, you know, there was some public comment that I thought seemed a little alarming, but it gave the public the chance to make that comment, and then the company responded with explanations that that, at least in my mind, are satisfactory, so I intend to support the project.
And I think it underscores the continued need for, as infrastructure is placed into service or for that, for infrastructure that currently exists and is in service, it continues to be incredibly important, not only that the construction techniques of the pipeline itself are following the requirements, but also that the land is taken care of. These pipelines, whether it's a 2.6-mile stretch or it's a longer length in terms of miles, it impacts a significant portion of agricultural land, whether it's pasture land, whether it's tillable acres. And while producers in the pipeline route are compensated, they also want to make sure that this land is taken care of, so they, as they pass it down from generation to generation, it remains productive and an important part of their farming and livestock operations. So, again, I tend to support, or I do support this as well, and I think the company has done a very good job of outlining steps it will take going forward.
One final comment I'll make is this also illustrates how, even when we use administrative law judges as substantive law judges, we really do review what's been done at the hearings, and when we see potential gaps, we take steps to make sure that they're addressed, even when we aren't actually present at the hearing ourselves.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission adopt the order on reissuing certificates and permit in Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation QEP Field Services LLC, transfer of site certificate citing application case number PU-17-117, and Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation /QEP Field Services LLC, transfer certificates number 124 and permit number 123 citing application case number PU-17-157.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. This is a certificate transfer that was filed with us earlier this year. And the notice on these issues, on these kind of issues, identifies that really what we're concerned about here is whether QEP, which is the new company, agrees and is able to comply with the terms and conditions of the orders that we initially approved. And so we had an informal with this company earlier this week, and they have filed affidavits with us committing the company to the terms and conditions of the orders. And we had a good, thorough discussion with them on this project and the company's ability to maintain the standards that we established. QEP Services has been purchased by Tesoro. And so Tesoro has a long history in North Dakota, and they have a long history of operations. And we had a really good discussion with them about this project, about their other changes that are occurring. And also, we got an update on their remediation of their that very large oil spill out near Tioga a couple years back. And learned a lot about what has been done and what continues to be done there. And we've established a commitment by them to come in and give us sort of an update on the lessons that were learned in that project and how that what they've learned that can be incorporated into future operational plans to hopefully avoid that type of a really devastating spill in the future. So I think it was a very good discussion, and I think all things are in order to provide for this transfer today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would just add, I worked with Soro, some of those people, for years back in the legislative days with the refinery over in my district. And so it didn't surprise me, really. But the commitment that you mentioned of them coming in and updating us on lessons learned and such with that spill up there is being done, not really in a way because we have some kind of influence on that is a pipe that's not jurisdictional to us, but they recognize that we can all benefit from learning when there's a mishap like that, and so they're going to send their people in and update us. So appreciate that, that they're going to do that, and I think it's a good thing we can probably all learn. It's a bad thing that happened. It's a good thing that we can all learn from it and take advantage of that knowledge.
I would point out, too, that you mentioned in the hearing, the informal, that while it isn't jurisdictional to us for oversight now because we don't have the pipeline safety oversight, PHMSA does that, it is a line that we would cite and would have. So it's from that standpoint that Randy pointed out, and accurately so, that we can learn from anything that might come up from the lessons learned that we could incorporate into future sightings. So from that standpoint, it is somewhat jurisdictional.
And I believe they mentioned in terms of the spill that that is a long, lengthy process. And they had stated that they are looking at another 12 to 18 months to get that to final completion, which, again, just underscores from a land use standpoint beyond the pipeline how agricultural producers can be negatively impacted when things go wrong. So yeah, I thought it was a very good discussion that we had, and they are certainly committed to maintaining a high level of integrity in the pipeline system.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. In my final motion today, I move the Commission adopt the first amended findings and fact conclusions of law and order issuing first amended corridor certificate number 178 and first amended route permit number 190 in Highland Crude LLC Newtown Expansion Project Montreal County siting application case number PU-15-416.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. So this is an interesting project. We provided a order for conversion on this line back in January of 2016. It was a gathering system, and it's been converted into a transmission system. In January of this year, the company just filed documentation with us that they were going to be adding storage. It was within the previous approved corridor, so there was no action needed by us at that point. But they added some storage facilities to this line. And so this is kind of the next step, allowing them to maximize the potential of that pipe that already exists and increase its throughput from 36,000 barrels per day to 85,000 barrels per day without any additional investments needed on that line. So we had a good discussion with them, the company, again this week. We discussed any changes in the operation that would be required for this increased throughput, and basically it will have the same operating pressure, and it has already been designed for this operating pressure. So that really doesn't change. We also asked them to talk about the changes in emergency operation plans and their integrity management. And again, there's none needed for this. It's already been accounted for in their existing plans for those things. So this really maximizes the capacity of this existing infrastructure. I think all the conditions have been met, and this is ready for approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I will just point out that on at least one of these, there was a request to kind of expedite it early to an earlier date than July 12th. And next week, for a variety of reasons, it just seemed impossible almost to get a meeting. And so we scrambled a little bit to get a meeting put together today, and then in the process added some of these scheduling things and such. Several people of staff around here, some of whom are in the room, and I think a couple others I hope are at least listening so they hear this, really went above and beyond the call, and some worked well beyond 5 o'clock last night getting everything put together for us, and so I really appreciate that. It makes a significant difference when we can be responsive and get these things out in a timely manner when possible. With that, we'll take some questions from us and then take a short recess before our administrative portion of the meeting.
Okay, working backwards from on the JF3, the Highland,
Was the original design $85,000 as a max? Are they maxing out?
The original throughput maximum design flow rate was 36,000 barrels, and now it's up to 85,000 barrels, and that is the max, I believe, for that size pipe.
So no changes at the pipe itself?
Correct.
Yeah,
they had just designated in their previous order that their maximum was going to be 36,000 barrels per day, and it was based on a variety of factors. It seemed like, because we did talk about this in the informal, one of the biggest driving factors for what they cited as their maximum operating pressure was how many customers they had scheduled to deliver through the pipe. So they've just gotten more producers interested in using it for a variety of factors, one of which is the completion of Dakota Access Pipeline, and this is a feeder to that.
And as I add, I know it's a common thought out there that just means that you're just putting more pressure on it. It does not increase the pressure inside the pipeline.
Right, the oil just moves faster through the pipeline. Pressure remains the same, but you'll continue to see more instances like this just because of the economics and the fact that when you have low commodity prices like we're dealing with now, that can be the make or break difference between whether or not an oil producer wants to proceed with drilling a well because they can save approximately $3 per barrel on shipping costs. So that in a tight market like it is right now, influenced by a number of things, most significantly just a glut of oil globally, it can make a big difference. And that equates to a lot of jobs that we either have in play or don't have in play in North Dakota at any given time.
Back to JF2. Whiting sold to QEP, and QEP was bought by Tesoro. Is that how it worked?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And it's QEP Field Resources. We should distinguish that because QEP has another drilling component company that remains QEP. And so it's fairly confusing. It'll be cleared up more when the Tesoro name changes.
Yeah. Is this the last of Whiting's?
No, they still have other infrastructure. You mean gas?
Whiting's was talking about selling off a lot of its properties in North
Dakota. I'm not completely sure about that, Dave. We didn't have a lot of discussion, but it seemed like Whiting still had a number of resources in the state that they maintained.
Whiting's more fixated on the oil side of the equation, the production side, and they're trying to. I can only speculate in terms of reasons, in terms of capital, et cetera. But they're migrating more to that.
The Astoria project. Do you know where in South Dakota that's going to be?
It should be. Well, they have to still go through the process with the state of South Dakota, but they want to have that online. I believe it is by May of 2021 as well, to coincide with the Hoot Lake plant retirement.
You don't know physically where it is, though, in South Dakota.
Well, Astoria.
Well, Astoria, South Dakota.
Right. Yeah, Astoria, South Dakota. I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question.
Where will they get the gas? Will it be from Northern Border, or do you know?
It will be from the Northern Border pipeline. They chose Astoria because, as they describe it, it's at the perfect intersection of a major transmission line and very close access to natural gas. They did look at, I believe it was three sites in North Dakota, but those required an additional investment in the $30 to $40 million range because of having to run a longer length of pipe for the sites that had transmission on the electrical side as well. So unfortunately, we did not get the gas project in the state, which from an economic development standpoint would have been advantageous, but it's going in South Dakota, assuming everything winds up as the company is proposing and intending.
Do you have a price tag on that, on Astoria?
Yes, the price tag is $165 million. Now, I've heard $175 million, but I think what they're stating is $165 million is the number of record that I last saw. So it's a significant project and will add considerable tax base for the city of Astoria. It only equates to 3 to 5 jobs I shouldn't say only. They're good jobs, but it's not high on the number of jobs. But from a tax base standpoint, in terms of where the the value of the facility and associated property taxes, that's a big benefit to that community.
Regardless where that's built, one can assume that some of that gas coming through that pipeline is coming from North Dakota, which adds to the demand, and so our resource owners benefit as well as the fact that it takes more of the pressure off so that less of it is flared.
Yeah, absolutely. Some will be Bakken gas mixed in.
I apologize. I should have looked this up, but Hoot Lake, do they use, what kind of coal do they use?
I believe Hoot Lake is using Powder River coal.
Okay.
And I'd have to verify, but I'm 99% certain that it's in fact, it is Powder River coal out of Wyoming.
Now, on the first item you had, is it extending it until 2018?
No, through 2017.
Through the year 2017.
Yeah.
This calendar year, then.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think that's all I've got. I could ask you to respond to the judge's decision, latest judge's decision on Dakota Access Pipeline.
The one last week or so?
Yeah. The one where they're talking about reopening some of the environmental stuff.
Well, we've been asked about that a number of different times, and it really doesn't relate to our work. And so we don't have a lot to say about it. It's on the federal side. It's on the core permit. And it isn't a reflection of any shortcomings on behalf of the commission and our citing and our order. So I don't have a lot of comments. I think that process will continue to proceed. And I will say this. This is the process that is appropriate and should have been followed all along through the courts. And that's where they're going to get the lasting changes, if any, are in order.
Fair enough.
And it isn't costing North Dakota $30 million.
Okay, we will take a short recess and come back for sign some papers here and come back for the administrative portion of the meeting in 5 minutes.